Thanks for joining us tonight. Music has power, doesn't it? Is that true or false? Music has power. It's true. Yeah, music has a ton of power. So that's an incredible story about a guy in World War II who literally a soldier who was trained and his responsibility was to kill him, laid down his gun because of music, because of music. Music has power. Now, let me ask you, athletes in the room, do any of you guys have pregame music? Any of you athletes in the room? Or maybe like, you know, some of you, just, you know, if you're a dancer or something like that, you got pregame music. I had pregame music too. When I was in high school, I'm gonna take you back here for a second. It's Friday night. I'm getting ready to go out for football. I got my pads on. I got everything on.
I'm so excited. It's gonna be great. Put that right there.
Yeah. I got my pads on and all this kind of stuff. And this is what I played. Just close your eyes and take yourself back to the 1990s in football. This is what I played. Okay, that was my pregame music. I don't know what the words of that song. It's called Machine Head by Bush. Have any of you ever heard of that band? Okay, about a third of us. Okay, so I have no idea the words of that song. I just know how it made me feel. Did you catch that? I don't know anything that it means. I just know how it made me feel. Music has power, and we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. Music has power in this message that I like to call heartbeats. Now, if you've got your Bible, open up to Colossians chapter 2 or turn it on in your phone, Colossians chapter 2. I'll be in two verses of scripture, but here's my truth for you tonight. Here it is. You ready? If you're writing stuff down, write this down. Here's the truth. Our playlists are connected to our heart. Our playlists are connected to our heart. Translation, these beats are connected to these beats. There's a direct connection between the two. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, and I'll be reading Colossians 2, verse 8 and explaining some things for you guys. Here it is. Colossians 2, verse 8, it says, this should be right there behind me. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Now, you look at me and you go, man, that doesn't say anything about music. What does that have anything to do with my music? You're right. It doesn't say anything about music. You're wrong. It says everything about music. Check out the word philosophy. Look at that word philosophy. Turn to the person next to you and say, philosophy. But you can't say it, hey, don't say it dumb. Say it smart. Don't be like, philosophy? No, that's like, no, I didn't pass third grade. Okay, say, no, philosophy. Yeah, say it smart, philosophy. Okay, translation, look at me. Here's what philosophy means. Philosophy is a way of life, a way of living. It's a way of life, it's a way of living. See to it that no one takes you captive. Talking to Christians, talking to followers of Jesus. This is Pastor Paul talking to followers of Jesus who they lived in a town where guess what happened? There were teachers that came into this church. Don't miss this, guys. Over here, don't miss this. There were teachers that came into this church and started telling them, if you want to please God, you'll do these three or four things. You won't get married. What? You won't eat these kind of food. What? Yeah, they said, if you want to please God, you'll do these things and you won't do these things. Now, doesn't that sound stupid? It does sound stupid, but you know what also is crazy? You may go, that doesn't happen here. Well, it does happen for you in the room in terms of you being Christians. There are people telling you, maybe not necessarily how to make God happy, but how to make you happy. They're telling you ways of life about making you happy and saying, do this, don't do that, look this way, try this, enjoy this, give yourself to this, don't give yourself to that, don't act like this, say this, sing that. This is how you be happy. So these philosophies of way of life, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive. And Pastor Paul is looking at these Christians going, guys, man, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be happy, and I want you to have all that God wants for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, I want you to have all that God wants for you. Okay, some of you said a lot more than that. Okay, some of you started explaining what all that was. Okay, hey, I want you guys to have all that God wants for you. I want you to have all that God wants for you. But when it says philosophy, you need to understand this. Do not miss this point. Musicians and artists are philosophers. Musicians and artists are philosophers. Every songwriter on your playlist and on my playlist is a philosopher. They have a way of life. Doesn't mean they're right, doesn't mean they're wrong, doesn't mean they're smart, doesn't mean they're dumb. They got a way of life. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Now, I've talked a lot about hip-hop. I did the history of hip-hop last night or last Wednesday. But tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about country. Do we have any country fans?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm a little bit of a country fan. I'm not like country nuts. Taylor Swift is not country. She is not country. What? No, she's not. She's fake country. She's funk-try. So here's the deal. Have you ever listened to a country song? One of the reasons I love country music, guys, one of the reasons I love country music is because there is no genre of music that tells stories better than country. You know what I'm talking about? They do. They're like, I was driving down the road. I ran over your dog. His intestines were hanging out. I cried. I went home to my wife. Decided to become a better husband. Now, okay, so they tell this story, right? And I'm like, there was this one country song, I can't remember what it was. It's talking about this father and the son, and the son's looking down at it, or this father's looking down at his son, and he sees his son do something, and bows his head and prays like this. And it's, do you know that song? And it's like, I want to be like you, Dad. You know, I wanted to cry. I was like, I want Moses to be like me. And then you go to the next song, and it's like, I got drunk at a bar, went home with a girl, don't know. Wait a second. Good husband and dad or womanizing jerk? What do I do? Look at me, guys. Dueling philosophies. Don't miss this. Dueling philosophies. What do I do? Do I do this? Is that the way of life? Is that the way of life? Should I do it? And they fight back and forth. And many of the music, some of the music, I would say almost all of our playlists and the albums that we listen to, there's probably not a single album that you have that's all like, destroy your life, you know? Because almost everyone inside them has this sense where they go, man, there's a good thing about life. And they sing some songs about it. And then they're like, ooh, but there's some bad stuff in life that's kind of like good and bad and bad and good. And they sing about this. And so most albums and playlists of ours go back and forth between the two. And it's this wrestling match inside. But you got to understand, every artist is a philosopher. And they have philosophies. And here's what it says. It says, do not let anyone take you captive by hollow and deceptive ways of living. Some of you guys go, dude, these artists, man, it's not a philosophy. It's just words. You need to do your music history if you think it's just words. One of the greatest songwriters and musicians and guitar players of the 70s, Jimi Hendrix, he sang about it. He wrote about it. Live free, live wild, live fun, died of an overdose. One of the wildest, craziest, clearest female vocalists of the 70s talked about live wild, crazy, and fun, Janis Joplin, dead of an overdose. Listen to me. You go, well, that's just these old rock guys. Hey, the guy who coined the term thug life shot dead Tupac Shakur. The guy who was like, I'm going to get totally rich by my skill, Biggie Smalls, shot dead. Look at me, guys. The way of life that is communicated by many of the artists on our playlist, you can't live it out, and it's hollow and deceptive. Here's what it means, hollow and deceptive. Hollow means it promises you something that it can't deliver. If you do this, you'll be happy. This is a way to get rid of the pain, but it really doesn't work. It's hollow. It promises happiness, but it really can't deliver. Deceptive meaning it will miss the mark. Philosophers. You got to understand this. And then he goes on and he says this. Don't let anyone take you captive with a hollow or deceptive way of living. But make sure that it's not built on two things. Make sure it's not built on human tradition. Everyone does that. That's just what everyone does. Human tradition or elemental spiritual forces. Hey, how many of y'all know that some of the ideas and the ways of living that's passed around at school from one person to another or from one artist to one listener? Some of those ideas come straight from Satan. We may not know it, but listen, Satan doesn't care what idea you buy into as long as it's not the final idea he says here. Spiritual forces of this world rather than on, say it with me, rather than on Christ. Hey, Christ is such a big deal. And here's the thing. It's not that God sits up there and says, oh, your music is so bad. God's sitting up there going, I want Christ for you. Here's why. God is working in every one of you in every person in this room. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is working in you tonight. Okay. Here's what God wants to do for you. Here's what God wants to do for you. God wants to do one thing for you. This is it. Don't miss this, guys. God wants you to know Jesus for life. God wants you to know Jesus for life. Now, for some of you in this room, God is working very hard to introduce you to his son, Jesus, who went to a cross and died for you. You've never met him. He wants to introduce you to him. Some of you in this room, God is working very hard to deepen your relationship with him. Any of you have friends that you're on a nickname basis with them? Do you have a nickname from one of your friends? Would you be willing to share it out loud? What's a nickname that a friend has for you? No, don't. What nickname do you got? What'd you say? I thought you said Iced Coke. I was like, what? Titan. Okay, cool. Hey, how many of you have friends that you're on a nickname relationship with? Look at me, guys. Imagine someone really important walked into this room, and I wanted you to meet that person. I don't know, say it was like Daniel Langford. And you had never met this really important person. I went, hey, everybody, this is Daniel Langford. You might say something like this. Oh, Mr. Langford, nice to meet you. Mr. Langford, nice to meet you. Shake his hand. Pretend that you don't know him and you know that he's not really that important, okay? I'm kidding. He is important. I love Daniel. But check this out. You might go, hey, Mr. So-and-so, and you acknowledge him by his, look at me, guys, by his title, Mr., a sign of respect. And that's where some of you are with Jesus. Man, you're at the point of just trying to acknowledge him from a distance by his title, Lord. Maybe it's Lord. Maybe it's King. Maybe it's Savior. Acknowledge him by his title. But eventually, as you get to know Daniel Langford, you'll go from, oh, hi, Mr. Langford, to Daniel says, hey, don't call me Mr. Langford, call me Daniel. And you move to a first name basis with him, and you get to know him a little bit better. And then after a while, you get to where you've had so many experiences and spent so much time with Daniel that it gets to where you don't call him by Daniel, you call him by the nickname that came through that experience that you had with him. Some of you guys, that's where you are with Jesus. You're at a place where, man, you've had so many experiences with Jesus that you're almost on like a nickname basis with him. And that's awesome. And that's what God wants for all of you. But there's even a deeper level. If you hid the caller ID on my phone and my wife called me and I could just hear her voice, she wouldn't have to say Brandon. She wouldn't even have to identify herself. I would hear her voice and go, oh, hey, babe, how are you? Just by the sound of her voice. Listen, it's because there's an intimacy and a closeness in our relationship that's developed over time. That is God's will and what God is working for every one of you in this room with Jesus. To where you don't even have to call him by name. You know his whisper, and he knows yours. This is what God is working in your life, and this is the philosophy that you have to guard from. Guard from any philosophy that fights against this relationship that God is working inside you. So you look at me, and you go, what do I do? What do I do? Let me give you two things tonight, and we'll get out of here. Two things that you need to do. Number one is this. Guard your heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Okay, read this with me. Look up at the screen. Read Proverbs 4:23 with me. Proverbs 4:23 says this. Above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For out of it, everything flows. Everything flows. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Check it out. If you continue reading on in this passage, he moves on from here and he says, guard your heart. And then the next verse he says, guard your mouth. Watch what you say. Then the next verse he says, watch what you look at. Then the next verse says, watch where your feet go. But it all starts with guarding the heart, because here's the deal. Your heart is where your affections are. Your heart is where your affections are. Your heart is where your desires are. And how many of you know, if you want something, you start looking for something. You start looking for something, you start walking towards something. You know what I'm talking about? Now, let me also point out to you, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Look at me. This is, in this passage, this is a father talking to his son. He doesn't say, above all else, son, let me guard your heart for you. Some of you guys expect your parents to make decisions on your playlists for you. Shame on you. It's your heart, not theirs. It's your actions that come out of it, not theirs. Guard your heart. It ain't my job to guard your heart. It's your job. What do you guard it with? Well, here's what I'd say. Here's what you guard it with. Where your affections are, let me encourage you a question to ask. I've had a lot of teenagers that'll come to me and say, Brandon, should I listen to this music? Should I watch this movie? Should I read this book? Or should I go to this place? I think that's all the wrong question. I think there's some good to that, but I think it's the wrong question. I think here's the second number two point. I think this is a better question to ask. Here it is. You ready? First of all, guard your heart. Second, ask this question. Does this song deepen or divide my affections for Jesus? Does this song deepen or divide my affections for Jesus? Affections meaning wanting him and desiring him. Some of you guys, I say, do you want Jesus? And you're like, dude, that's weird. He's like, I can't even see him. How do I want? That's where you are, and that's okay. God wants to introduce you to Jesus. Some of you go, Brandon, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've gotten way off track recently. Man, there's this girl in my life, or there's this guy in my life, or there's this philosophy that I've been living out. There's this idea that I've been digesting. You go, man, I've gotten so far off track. But here's the thing. God wants to deepen. God is constantly working to deepen your affections toward Jesus. Constantly working that. You know, I think when God looks down at our playlists in our music, I don't think God gets mad. He's like, oh, you listen to bleep. You know, no, because we learned last week God loves bleep, right? God loves those people. He loves them. He sent his son to die for them. Just because they're confused on the medicine of how to heal the sickness and be happy doesn't mean he doesn't love them, but check this out. I think when God looks down at our playlist, I think God gets fighting mad when he sees us enjoying things that divide our affections for Jesus. I think he gets fighting mad because God is, at every moment of every day of your life, God is working for one goal for you to know and walk with Jesus closely. That's it. Not to get you a college sports scholarship. Not to get you into college. The one thing God is constantly working is to draw you close to his son. Anybody in the room hungry? Did any of you want to yell at me because of this? Cool. Okay. How many of you had a hard time hearing anything I said tonight because of... How many of you, this was calling your name? Hi, how are you? It's kind of gross. Look at me, guys. Hey, don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is how your affections work in your heart. This is how your affections work. Some of you weren't even hungry until you saw this. And then suddenly, some of you weren't even thinking about a burger until you sat down, and now it's right in front of you, and you keep looking at it over and over, and you're wanting it, and you're like, you're calling my name. You belong to me. We are one. Hey, don't miss this. Your appetite and your affections and your heart are very similar. And some of you guys are taking your playlists and stuff that you listen to, and you're putting right in front of yourself things that are going to divide and distract you in your affection from Jesus. And you wonder why you keep going astray. Now, your heart works this way. Whatever you put in front of yourself and you go back to over and over, chances are you're going to want that. That's how it works. That's how your heart works and my heart works. That's how our affection works. So whatever you put in front of yourself and you focus on it over and over, ooh, you're going to start looking for it. You're going to start wanting it. You're going to start walking to it. And you're going to start taking it and having it for yourself. Hey, look at me. Even if that's sexual immorality. But it could be Christ. It could be Christ. And some of you guys, man, you're really struggling in your thought life and in your heart. Some of you girls in this room are struggling desperately with how you look at yourselves, wondering if you really are beautiful. But you're filling your mind with music that's giving an image of beauty that is not true. Or you're filling your mind with music about relationships and it's constantly reminding you that you're not in one and it's forcing you or it's urging you or it's making you hunger to find a boy that'll go out with you. And some of you guys are in a desperate battle with your sexuality and with your thought life and you're filling your minds with music that's constantly celebrating and get it on with that girl. Hey, don't laugh. Am I true? Is this true? Hey, guard your affections. Ask this question. I would even say this. If you ask this question, does this song deepen or divide my affections? I think you could even take this and go, does this boyfriend or girlfriend deepen or divide my affections for Jesus? And if the answer is divide, well, you know what you should do. Does this friend deepen or divide my affections for Jesus? Get some distance from that person. Man, let God work on them. But you get some distance. I want you to close your eyes. Some hard, hard words tonight. Hard, hard words. But listen, if I'm honest with you, it means I love you. And I want you guys, man, I want you guys to have everything God wants for you. I want you to live incredible lives. I want you to truly be happy. I want you to truly experience God's happiness in all areas of your life. And I know that that only happens through Jesus. And I also know that there are so many forces and influences and philosophers around you right now that are telling you anything but Jesus. Tonight, won't you choose to make your number one affection and your number one pursuit the one that died for you, the one that bled for you, the one that suffered for you and hurt for you, and the one that rose for you and says, follow me. I know your past. I know your baggage. Follow me. Some of you in this room are at an introduction stage with Jesus, him being Lord and Savior. That's new. You can call out to him right now and say, Jesus, be my Lord. I want you to do that for me. Might go something as simple as this. Jesus, be my Savior. It's a prayer you can pray right now. In fact, I'm going to be quiet for about 10 seconds. If that's where you are, I just want you to pray to Jesus and say, be my Savior. Someone else in the room, you're in a place where your affections have been so divided lately. So divided. You sit during worship and go, gosh, I don't even want to sing these songs. I used to love singing these songs. Ask Jesus this question. Jesus, what's dividing my affections for you? And then when you see it, offer it to him and say, here, take this. Jesus, I want you more than I want that. Father, I want to thank you for this night, and I want to thank you for your word penetrating our hearts and challenging us. God, you are great. I pray that these students take to heart the words that I've spoken and the words that you've spoken through me. I pray your scripture drives deep down inside them, and God, I pray these students guard their own hearts. Lord, you're awesome. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel L. Langford.
Hey, guys. Yeah, he's getting this escorted out, so y'all don't eat that. Hey, so glad y'all are here. Next week, everybody look at me. Next week, we are starting. We're going to have one huge service at 7:30. Now, night of worship, it's going to be awesome. We are going to be giving out the Beats headphones. How many of you are already kind of nervous thinking about that? Shut up. Be quiet. Look, I'm sorry. I'm in it, but not really. So I'm kind of sorry. Hey, you have to be present to win. So if I call your name and you're not here, your friends are going to harass you for missing it. And I'm going to throw it in the ground, and then I'm going to draw another name. So you have to be present to win. 7:30 next week. It's going to be awesome. The next week, Unite on Ice. We're meeting at NITEX. We're going to have a blast. We're going to be playing on ice, and some of you are going to fall. And it's going to be fun. Some of you are going to push me down, and I'm going to laugh and then punch you. It's going to be great. It's not, no code reds. It's not too late to sign up for camp either. So if you have not done that, there are a few spots available. Look at me. A few spots for camp. So if you're going to sign up, do it. All right? Hey, pick up your trash. Pick up your trash. Two things. Pick up your trash. Don't throw your trash on the ground outside. And tell Brian Thompson that the Yankees suck and you're rooting for the Rangers. Yeah! Love you guys. Let's go out this. Pick up your trash!